If you will, get your Bibles for me to John, the Gospel of John, the chapter 20. I won't be before you long. And I'll be at the 24th verse, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And I'll be reading verses 24 through 29. If you don't mind, when you get it, if you don't mind standing to your feet for God's word, and you don't have to stand up any longer if you don't desire to. But you can all talk back to me. You can yell at me. This is an interactive. All right. And it reads as such. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord," the risen Lord they're referring to. So he said to them, "Unless I see his hand, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hand, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let me read that one more time, verse 29. And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You may be seated. Let me pray. Dear righteous one, dear heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord. We don't know the exact date. We don't know the time, God, but we are set inside this time, Lord, as a resurrection day, Lord, because we do know that you live. Lord, we know that you have been redeemed, and you redeemed us by the blood of Christ, God. So I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done on Calvary, and your work has been finished. It has been made complete and as well. And Lord, in that, you also gave us this beautiful thing called the Bible. And Lord, you have put these words together, Lord. We believe that you orchestrated this, God. You allow some of your men to have their penmanship, and you allow them to be able to come together to document the journey that is so great and so marvelous to us. So Lord, I pray that this time of fellowship will be good, sweet. And Lord, we pray that your name will be praised. And Lord, you are worthy and honored. So Lord, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, if I have to give you a topic, I wrestled with it, but God had told me, "No, don't change it." And I said, "Lord, is this really a resurrection message?" Well, the Lord said it did happen after my resurrection. So I said, "All right." So if I have to give you a title today, it is, "Don't Discount Your Faith." Sometimes we go through this life and we can sometimes make mistakes. Sometimes we walk through this life and we fear evil. And sometimes we break down. And sometimes we fumble the ball. And sometimes we act like we don't got no sense. I know that's not the best English, but that's just the truth. Sometimes we act like we not saved by the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes we forget whose we are. and we get caught up in what we're in. But God is ever so faithful. And sometimes we like to give the haters too much attention. And we try to listen to what the naysayers say about us and how they pinned it against us. And sometimes we start believing what they say about us. But can I tell you something? You can't say something about me and make me believe it if I didn't believe it about myself already. So are you really mad with the haters for what they said about something you internally already thought? Because they are now just flashing the light on something that you already see in yourself? So sometimes we get mad with the wrong people, but we should be looking at the man in the mirror. And sometimes we get into these parties. Throw your hands in the air, wave it like you just don't care. I'm not talking about that party. I'm talking about the pity one. See, nobody knows what's in your mind but you and the one other person. And that's Jesus. I don't care how much you got a spouse you lay beside at night. I don't care how close you are to your children. I don't care who your BFF is. Nobody knows all that's in that mind of yours but you and God. And sometimes we know it's a colorful world in these brains of ours. We know that all of us should repent daily, because there's not one in here that hasn't thought something that they shouldn't have thought, hasn't said something they shouldn't have said, haven't done something that they shouldn't have done. But God is not as worried about those things as you think he is. See, when you receive the blood is the blood. When the blood saves you, it saves you. God is not always taking documentation of all the things you did not do today, all the things that you said today, all the things that you thought today. I'm not telling you not to aim for holiness and righteousness, but I'm telling you don't get caught up in the ways of yourself when God is continually to purify you, to sanctify you, to call you back to himself, to make you who he called you to be. We all are a work in progress. We all can be a hot mess. But I refuse to let what everybody else say about me define me. Because I know whose I am, and I know what I am going to be. See, I know that I am called a saint. I know that I have a home in a heavenly place, but I'm having still an earthly experience while he left me down here. So therefore, he's calling me to be a light to this world. Now, I'm going to tell y'all now. So we had some lights in here, and they got dimmed at one time. But the lights were still on. See, I cannot tell you all the time that it's going to hit at a 40 or a 60 or 120 volt or brightness, but I can tell you my light going to stay on. See, as long as I have Jesus in my heart, my light will always be on. So don't take that party and start gyrating to the devil's music in your head. Don't start percolating to what the enemy has said. Because he's going to tell you some things about yourself. Because he sees too. He don't know all, but he sees. And so he's going to remind you, have you fall short of the glory of God? But God. See, I got to this passage because I have a different viewpoint of how they call my homeboy something else. And see, me, I'm an interceder. I'm a fighter. I defend people. And I don't like when people talk about my friends or my family or my loved ones, and I know the truth. And sometimes people got to tell me to pipe it down and be quiet, Jason. That's just let it be. And I'm trying. And I can really give you a piece of my mind without a cuss word. And I can tell you about yourself. I can tell you where you came from, and I can tell you your origin, and I can make you want to go under the rock and crawl if you start messing with my peoples. In the name of Jesus, I like to say it. Because I believe that the truth will set you free. But I'm working on seasoning it. Because the one the Lord say, taste and see that the Lord is good. I know that means some good food is seasoned right. So it takes season sometime to get that old roughness off you. Huh? Just because you come in here with a suit don't mean that you got it all together now. Just because you come in here with that nice hat on don't mean that you really know what you're doing with that hat when you already know what it is. Huh? We all know that really, real quick, somebody cut us off in the traffic jam and we got somewhere to be, that we not double parked, that we still get irritated, frustrated, and we want to say something or do something really quickly. But they called my homeboy Thomas, Doubting Thomas. And I want to tell y'all that I don't know if he's really should be labeled as Doubting Thomas. Let me just give you some background about Thomas. Thomas in John 11, he was talking to Jesus. Now, it's ironic that the few times that you see Thomas, it's around death. Okay. So Thomas in John 11 was talking to Jesus. Jesus said, Lazarus is sleeping. Let us go back and visit Lazarus. So they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, won't he get well? They didn't get what he was saying. Hindsight 20/20. And then the Lord said, I'm just going to tell y'all bluntly because y'all not picking up what I'm dropping. Lazarus is dead. But it's good for your sake that you're here and that you will see that you may be able to believe. Now, before that, they also tried to stone Jesus where Lazarus was at. They tried to hurt Jesus. So you would think if you had just left the place where they tried to hurt you, are you going to go back? And these boys really meant what they said. What y'all don't remember maybe is Thomas says, let's go back with him and let's die with him. Wow. See, everybody talks about Peter saying, Lord, I got your back. And three times he denied him. But I think we all have denied him at some point or another. Thomas denied him, and all the other disciples denied him. Again, God is not holding you to the pen of all the shortcomings you may have with him. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that God don't remember all the times that I let him sit there and hang there and die and forget about all that he has done for me. That's why I couldn't sit in that chair. And when you hear a song being sung and it praises and it lifts up who God is and how he didn't have to do it. And you get your mindset around, my God did not have to do it. And God, I know how messed up I am at times. I know how I won't wake up every morning and be a Berean. Because the Berean searches the word every day. Aren't we New Berean family? Huh? Even if you don't go here, aren't we all Bereans? That's what he's saying in Acts. Daily they search the scripture. Not when it was convenient, not on Wednesdays, not on Sundays, but daily. And this is how they are convinced who God say he is, because they continue to search the scripture precept by precept, line by line, and they be able to see what God is saying is true, and then they give God enough time to show himself. See, all of us have had enough time for God to show himself to us. And I believe that's why all of you are sitting in here today, because God has showed himself to you in one place or another. I don't believe that you just wanted a new outfit. I don't think it was just that you wanted to show off. I think that you had enough sense in you that even if you don't come to church regularly, I'm going to come on the day that they recognize that the man named Jesus died on the cross for my sin and that he got up 3 days later, and because of him, I live. So I know that you got enough sense to come in here on Resurrection Day because of, not because of what you have, not because of who you're going to see, but because of who he is. See, but people like to take a snapshot of your life sometimes. And they want to call Thomas a doubter. Is he really a doubter? But I implore you to think like Thomas right now. See, sometimes you got to know who God is all by yourself. I may be the preacher. You had a great pastor. But he can't save your soul. I can't save your soul. I can lead you to the water, but I cannot make you drink. I can show you the truth, but I cannot make you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And when I tell you that you're going to have to stand before a living God one day and give an account for all that you have done on this earth, and if you believe in his son, Jesus Christ, then you will be saved and you will enter into a place of glory. But you got to know for yourself. You got to believe for yourself. He got to convince you, not me, for you. He got to convince me for me, and he got to convince you for you. See, Thomas says, the Bible says he's a twin. Get this. I don't know because the scripture does not say, but I believe he was a twin brother. But get this. I don't know if one of the other disciples, apostles, was his twin that was walking with them, right? But just for argument's sake, I'm going to say it, maybe. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Get this, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, not us, but we means everybody else but me. We have seen the Lord. That's good for you. That's good for you. I'm not telling you there's something wrong with a testimony. I'm not telling you that there's nothing wrong with borrowing somebody else's praise. I'm not telling you that it's nothing wrong with asking for interceding and people to be able to come on your behalf. Because the Bible tells us to do all that. But you got to know that you know for yourself. And so Thomas gets indignant. I know y'all my boys. I know we've been walking with Jesus together. But I got to see him for myself. See, that's what we should be. I know that the pastor may be preaching good. I know that the psalmists may sing it right. But I know that's your testimony, but I got to know for myself who you say you are. Lord, you got to show me your goodness. Lord, I got to hear your truth and I got to be able to digest it for myself. Is Thomas wrong for wanting to know God in an intimate way for himself? Is it my fault that I had to go run to the store or that I had to go cry by myself and I missed Jesus? So I believe that the Bible says that God is not a respecter of person. So what he'll do for you, I can ask him, will you please do for me? He doesn't have to, but I can at least petition. See, a lot of times the enemy will get us to believe that we can't petition or that we're asking for too much. If he did it on this row, you better believe that he can do it on that row. So stop getting into yourself and start thinking that's for somebody else. If God is revealing himself, you should ask him to reveal himself to you too. Because God is willing to show himself. It may be through the word of God. It may be through being an experience. It may be through a testimony. It may be through an accident. I don't know. But the Bible says if you knock, he will answer. He will. You don't knock somewhere where you don't believe there's no cars in the driveway and nobody's in the house. See, so therefore, don't discount your faith because you knocked. You knocked because you believe that he's in the house where he can open the door. I know your faith may get weary, but you are smart enough to keep knocking. That tells me your faith is real. Don't discount your faith even when you're low. Sometimes we get lower than what we think, but sometimes only thing we know how to do is scream, Jesus! And you don't know, that's all you need to say sometimes. Because the demons would tremble at his name. And when you know there's no name above that name, you better not call on everybody else before you call on his name. See, sometimes when we get into our backs against the wall, what we know will come out. Even though you got yourself with your back against the wall, don't be a fool and not know how to call on the name of Jesus. Don't discount your faith because you did some stuff to get yourself into some stuff, but thank God that you know who he is. I know what you did. You only know, and you don't want to forgive yourself, but I want to let you know that he said that he forgives your sin and throws them away as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. So I ask you, get yourself up out of that grave, off that floor, out of your mind, and I want you to be transformed by the renewing of it because of who God is, not the renewing of yourself, but of this word of God that will transform and bring healing to your body. And when you understand who he is and who's he for, he's for you. He's here for you. He did it for you. He loves you. But he chastised those that he loved, and that's part of the program. I know my kids sometimes think I'm crazy, because sometimes I go crazy on them. You step out of line, I step in line. And we're going to get back in line together. And I'm going to love you through it. But that's what a parent does. I ain't going to talk about her real bad because she's here. My mama? Huh? She done smacked me a couple times. She done put the belt to me. But I deserved it. I needed it. Sometimes we need a little bit of chastening. You ain't too grown. You ain't too grown. See, they try to label you, but I ask you to keep laboring. Don't stop. They try to label you, but I ask you to keep laboring. If you keep working, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means keep going. And the more you keep getting closer to him, the more you will reverence him, the more you will stop doing some of the stuff that you've been doing. That don't mean you're going to be perfect. That don't mean that you're going to always have it together. It just means that you're walking behind the perfect one, and he's going to continue to enlighten you to the truth. And the truth will set us free. And when you understand that, you don't get caught up in the fumbles. You don't get caught up in the shortcomings. I didn't say don't worry about them, but I said caught up. See, don't get caught up when one day you know you're going to get caught up. When you know that you are already sealed, just understand that nobody can break it. Nobody can take you out the hand of the Father. Understand your security is not in yourself, but it's in the one that stretched it wide. The one that let the nail print go in his hand so it didn't have to go in mine. The just shall live by faith. So I ask you, are you scared to make your request known to God? Can I be transparent with y'all? So this is, I said y'all family now, because I've been coming here for 15 years. No, a little bit longer than that, about 17. And I must admit, I know death is part of the program. I do. Sometimes, though, we get caught up with loving this world. And I did question God when Pastor Rich died. So I want to talk to y'all. And I said, Lord, he didn't even reach 70. And he's a good man. Not a perfect man, but a good man. A whole lot of other folks, Lord, you could have knocked on their door. Just being honest. Being a little selfish. And then it threw me a little bit because I'm like, he here taking care of his wife. God said, I don't have to confer with you. But Leroy was ready. And that was my homeboy. For real, for real. Me and him had a lot of conversations, a lot of talks. And I know he was a lot of things to a lot of y'all. But I can tell y'all, every blue moon when I got down, I heard his voice. Dr. Jason, huh? When I'm gone, I'm gone. Huh? Don't cry for me, because I'm going to be up in heaven. Huh? But these knuckleheads down here, Jason, I'm going to leave them for you. There he go. Huh? And I promise y'all, it's something that he says that is not a week that don't go by. Jason is more than a notion. It's more than a notion. I didn't understand it all, but I kept coming around him. And it was a few stories he was great to tell me each time I saw him, or a few sayings. And we saw each other often. And I started getting to the place I would say it with him by the time he about to say it. I know, it's more than a notion. Ha, ha, ha. Gotta go. If you're going to keep saying the same thing. Sometimes you got to keep saying the same thing because either you're not getting it or it's that real. And I hold on to that. And I know that he believed in the gospel. And it may not went as the script that I would like for it to have went, or some others had liked for it to have gone. But when you know that man stood on the truth, and that man loved the Lord that he served, and that man walked in a way that his testimony was right, that's how you're supposed to go. It ain't easy. But it's worth it. It ain't easy, but his walk kept me encouraged, even to this day. And so to be able to come here and to preach to you guys, the flock that God has given him, and how you guys love your pastor, it's nothing but a blessing to see that you didn't fall away when he left. Because you don't serve Leroy Ricks. You serve Jesus. Leroy Ricks didn't die for your sins. He taught you how to be forgiven in your sins, but he didn't die for them. So when his program stopped, that means the program stops. And I had to pick myself up some days and say, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are still trustworthy, regardless of what I can comprehend. Lord, you are who you say you are. And sometimes we got to remember who God has been. It's not always going to be picture perfect for you. But it works out for the good for those that are called according. And he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. And so I know we forget sometimes to be Bereans, one that daily follows Christ and daily seeks his face. But I ask you to quench your heart to remember them nail prints. See, Thomas is a little special for me. And I want you to see one thing God is showing us. Sometimes our prayer life is not where it should be. But we say we believe that prayer works. And I know prayer works. I've seen it. I've seen prayer requests written about me when I was a heathen and about God bringing me into the fold. And Lord knows it happened. And it was like the saints were praying for you. Huh? When you was wrestling in your heart, that was because people was praying for me. So I know prayer works. I know I've prayed for myself and others, and I've seen God show up. So you would think that I would be a daily subscriber to prayer. But this flesh is weak at times, and I still live in it. And I'm so glad God is ever so patient. I want you to see one thing in this text, that Thomas didn't say a prayer. He spoke it to the brethren. I'm not believing unless, listen, nothing short of me touching that hand with that hole in it and me touching his side. Y'all can say what y'all want, and y'all my homeboys, but I need to find him out for myself because I need to experience God. He didn't just pray it. He might have prayed it, but the scripture doesn't tell us he prayed it. He spoke it amongst others. See, sometimes God takes note, not even of your prayer, but the things that still come out of your heart. So even when you don't have time to pray, just have enough time to speak about what you need from him because he's listening. And I need you to know that God is not just listening only when you get on your hands and knees. That's why they say, watch what you say. Speak that of grace. Speak good things of salt, that it may be able to continue to come back and feed or be the salt of this world. Because God hears everything. And this is why Thomas had to sit back and believe. Because one day, my Lord, he said, I care enough about one. I don't think y'all heard me. I don't care about the 60 of y'all only. I care about the one. See, sometimes you can get lost in the crowd, but I care about the one. See, sometimes you may fall away and you may fall in the ditch and nobody sees you. But I care about the one enough. If he cares enough to know me, I care enough to show him me. Oh, I don't think y'all hearing me right now. That was gooder than y'all know. And I'm not trying to get myself pumped up. I'm talking about him. When you understand that he cares about the one, I'm going to come back. I'm going to double back for you. And I don't know if Thomas was somewhere where he's supposed to be. I don't know if he was running the errand, but he wasn't with the crew. And sometimes you may not come into this house of the Lord like you should. Sometimes you may not come to Wednesday night Bible study. Sometimes you may not get on your knees and pray. Sometimes you may not fellowship with the brethren. Sometimes you may be wayward in your ways with your mind and with your feet. But God said, I will come back and show you myself. I will show you who I am. So stop discounting your faith. Because if you got enough faith to speak it, you better have enough faith to believe that he'll show it. So am I a doubter, or do I believe because I speak to the one that I know can change all things? Am I a doubter because I need to find out for myself that you are who you say you are? Am I a doubter because you are Elohim? Am I a doubter because I want you to find out, are you Jehovah Jireh for my life? Or do I know that you care about the one? Like David showed us as a shepherd. You're the good shepherd though. And you don't lose nobody. Nobody can take us. We don't even got control over our own self. Definitely once you say you his. So don't discount your faith. I don't care where you've been. Listen, this man denied Jesus like the rest of them. I ain't seen nobody out there fighting the Roman soldiers. Now, chapter 11, he said, let's go die with him. Count that as righteousness. His heart was right. But I don't know about y'all. How many times y'all ain't kept y'all word? Now, I'm a sinner for this. I used to torture my mama for not keeping her word. And now, she shake her head then. She ain't shake her head the first time. I break my promises to my kids at times. I try to make it right. But you know, sometimes we overpromise and underdeliver. Sometimes this heart of ours a little bigger than what it should be. And then we find out, man, wow. And that person was hinging on your truth. But I'm so glad that God is not like man. Every promise he gives, he keeps. Everything he said he can do, he already did. I don't think y'all heard that. Everything he said he can do, he already did. This is new to me and you, not to him. So he didn't promise you nothing that he ain't already set aside and took care of. A God that thinks enough about you. A God that has prepared a way for you. A God that has already went up to the heavenly places and said, if my father didn't have many rooms for you, I wouldn't tell you. But he said, I got many mansions. And he said, I got to go prepare a place for you. And I'm not just going to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to also send the other one back to you called the Comforter. The one that I want you to be able to get a hold of that can walk with you all the time, that will have access to you at all times. And you will let him dwell in you. I will let him be able to reveal himself to you. So I got to go that I may be able to send something back for you. I am one that will continue to give you presence while being in your presence. And when you understand the glory that it is to have a present of God in your heart, you already should know how rich you are and how he has, what he had to do to give you this gift and how he had to go on Calvary one day and how he knew he was innocent and others knew he was innocent and he had to watch a man be freed that was a sinner. But he said, y'all bad at Barabbas. I'm telling you, all of y'all are Barabbas. All of y'all are Barabbas. So let the dirty man go and take the clean man, because there's only one way to get this thing right. And they got to be somebody holy. And I've searched all over, as the song said, and I couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. I still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. There's nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. So therefore, I will get up here and I will do it. Y'all think y'all was hurting me, but I made y'all walk in the glory of me. I orchestrated this thing that you may be able to pin me to this cross. Yes, I said, Father, why have you forsaken thee? Because I know that you can't get to no sin. But God, I still, this is my first time being without you. This is my first time being separated from you. And when you get separated from God, you should know that it's not a good feeling. So it ain't about the Lord did not show up like he said. It's just my first time not being connected to you. That should hurt. Father, why have you forsaken thee? Because, son, I can't be a part of sin. And that should be all of our charge. Son, daughter, I can't be a part of sin when you go. But I'll come back and get you, though. You go ahead and take on that sin, die for it. But I'm going to come back and raise you up. I'm going to resurrect you more than you understand. Huh? A righteous man may fall a seventh time, but he'll get back up again. See, it's not you that's getting up. It is the spirit in you that gets up. And when you understand that, you walk with a peace that passes all of your understanding. You can't understand them, so you might as well serve them. If I can figure you out, I can trace you. But he has no beginning and he has no end, so it's nothing to trace. My God. I'm about to close. God is faithful. God is faithful. So don't discount your faith. So the Lord comes through the door and he says, peace to you. He addresses everybody. But then he says, hey, Tom, come here, man. You didn't tell me nothing, but I already know. Put your hand there. Now give me your hand. Hold on. Put your hand here. Now I'm going to guide you. Give me your hand. Touch it. See, thank you, Lord. See, sometimes when you think people are doubters, God is letting their curiosity or their stance even make you believers. That just came to me while I was up here, so I got to give it to you. See, Thomas stood on something. And everybody else probably thought he was like tripping. But they heard what Thomas said. But they also saw what God did. So it ain't just Thomas getting healed. It's everybody else that heard what Thomas said needed to happen when God met him there. So now they are fully convinced that God. See, why Tom got to be the doubter when y'all didn't believe either because y'all was sitting there hiding. Now nobody want to tell the whole truth. Everybody want to go to counseling and tell what the other person did to them, but they don't want to tell the whole truth why I was scared and they're hiding, and I really didn't believe because I was scared they were going to kill me, Jesus, so you know what I'm saying. I had to go ahead and put myself away, and we were behind closed doors, locked and shut, hiding, and the women had to go run to the grave for us because we were scared that if they saw the men, they were going to kill us. So we were just hoping that these women get back like they said they were going to get back because, you know, God knows. We was cowards. Oh, but everybody want to talk about old Tommy. Old Tommy the doubter. Tommy the faithful. And because I stood on something, you got to see something else in me. Because I made my petition known to God. And see, saints, I'm asking you. He didn't just rise for you just to have an experience. Put it on documentation. Try God. If he really say who he is, try him. If you ain't gonna try them, why are we here? Because we can just get saved and go. But there's some things that I know we need to keep knocking at this door for. I know it's sometimes that we all get weary and we stop believing. I didn't say we walk away, but we be like, I don't know about that one, Jesus. I just told you I had my moment. But he used his own saint to remind me of conversations. We can't get in love with this dress rehearsal. We act like people ain't gonna die. We gonna die. But where are you going? We get so caught up. Where we going? If you going with him, we gonna shed some tears. Don't get it twisted. But why are we falling out for? You should be falling out if you know you had an opportunity to present the gospel to somebody and you didn't. And you believe that their soul may be somewhere that yours is not going to be. So that means that we're being self-centered. We're supposed to be here to share the gospel. So I want you to hear something real quick as your Lord has said as I get to close. He says, do not be unbelieving, comma. Saints, we don't have time to be unbelieving. Somebody told me the other day, they said, man, I ain't been out since this plague. Call it what you want. This plague, this virus, whatever you want to call corona that's going to be here, that's taking so many out. It's God trying to wake us up. See, he tells us knock on the door, but sometimes he knocks too. And we don't have time to be unbelieving when we know the truth. See, I know none of us are old enough to know or have seen this happen. So this is what your God had called you. He says, but believing. Verse 29, Jesus says to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. That ain't even easy itself, because a lot of people saw Jesus and they still killed him. So don't belittle that. Don't discount it. He says, but blessed. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they believe. Saints, I'm not here to convince you that he rose. That's what the scripture is supposed to do. But I'm here to convince you that we got to let the doubt go because we got the truth. And we believe, and because we believe, we're so blessed. And as the song say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. So every time that the enemy tries to come and take your joy, I ask you, remember, you believe in a God that you've never seen. So therefore, he has counted it as righteousness to you. And whatever God has counted as righteous, and if you are righteous, he's going to protect it. So we can get caught up for a moment, but you got to remember whose you are and where you're going. Because God is always trying to resurrect something in us. Because we live in this flesh. I'm not here to beat down what your thoughts have been, what your actions have been, what your deeds have been. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to tell you, don't stay there. Because he didn't stay there. He got up on the third day. But guess what? Not by himself, but by the will and the power of his Father. And you now have that. It's called the Holy Ghost. And so if you have him, know that he's dwelling with you. And he's able to pick you up. He's able to pull you up. He's able to bring that new thing. If you think the devil has stole something from you, he ain't stole nothing that God can't replace and give it back to you better. God will give you double for your trouble. Triple for your ripples, quadruple for your ruples. You name it, you claim it. If God has already put it in your heart. Don't put God on no hook for something he ain't told you. But that intimacy, God will let some things be known. He got some promises for us saints. And we hold the truth. And so I just ask you. It's not about doubting. Sometimes it's about a conversation. And God going to show up, and he's going to show out, because my Redeemer lives. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today knowing that, God, you are who you say you are. You are the great I am, Lord, so I know that whatever you say you are, you are. Oh, God, you just made me remember. Pastor Ricks had I am on his license plate. And I used to always be like, what does that mean, really? Whatever I say I am, I am. See, I didn't put I am... dot, dot, dot.